In the name of Jesus, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. If you looked on your bulletin insert or on the front cover of the bulletin, you see this strange word. It's Latin, oculi or oculi. Can't remember which it's pronounced as. Oculi, isn't it? Anyway, that comes from the introit. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He will pluck my feet out of the net. Ocular eyes. And in today's gospel reading, we are reminded how our eyes need to be fixed upon Jesus, how we need to perceive Him truly as He really is, that we need to be confident of His identity as the Savior of the world. Now, today's gospel reading begins with a curious little sentence. Now, Jesus was casting out a demon that was mute. Mute means you can't speak, but in Greek, there was a single word for both mute and deaf. So this fella could neither speak nor hear. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. Jesus had committed a great miracle. But some people, some of the enemies of Jesus, said, "He cast out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons." And believe it or not, that ties in with today's Old Testament reading, because we have there the plague of flies. Because of Pharaoh's hardness of heart and refusal to let the people go, we have gnats. All the dust in Egypt turns to gnats. The households of all the Egyptians are filled with gnats. The Egyptian magicians tried by their secret occult arts to produce gnats, but they could not, and they said, "Hey, this is stronger than us. This is the very finger of God. You, Pharaoh, need to let the people go." But Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He refused to listen to the word of Moses, God's prophet. And so then we have the plague of flies. Beelzebul, used in today's gospel reading, literally means Lord of the Flies. And it is another name for the devil in the Hebraic culture. So Jesus was being accused of casting out demons because the devil had given Jesus that power to cast out demons. Jesus, His mighty works as God in the flesh, were accused of being demonic, satanic. Such blasphemy this is. Now, others didn't merely accuse Him of casting out demons by the prince of demons, Beelzebul. Others, to test Him, kept seeking from Him a sign from heaven. Okay, do as Elijah did. Do as Moses did. Show us a sign. Show us a miraculous sign that will show us that you are really who you claim to be, the Messiah, the Savior. But our Lord Jesus Christ knew their thoughts. And He said to them something that Abraham Lincoln later made use of. "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste," Jesus says, "and a divided household falls." Here Jesus is addressing that accusation that He casts out demons by the prince of demons, Beelzebul. If Satan is divided against himself, if Satan is warring against himself in some kind of infernal, hellish, strange civil war, how will Satan's kingdom stand? It's like, how many countries today in the present day world have experienced civil war, and the countries have basically destroyed themselves. It happened in Lebanon. It's happening all over the Middle East. We experience that in our war between the states. So if Satan is divided against himself, Jesus is saying, his kingdom cannot stand. But Satan's kingdom is not divided against himself itself, for Jesus is not of Satan's kingdom. Jesus rather comes to usher in the kingdom of heaven, and Satan's kingdom will not stand. Because our Lord Jesus Christ, Scripture said, appeared to destroy the works of the devil. Our Lord Jesus Christ became incarnate to destroy the devil and all of his works, to bring his kingdom crumbling down just as the walls of Jericho came tumbling down at God's command. Jesus says, if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. This takes us back to the Old Testament reading where the pagan magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God that has accomplished these awful, terrible plagues against us. Now, who would like to volunteer for an arm wrestling match? I'll tell you what, I'll use my arm and you use your little finger. No one. Becky? No? We know how that would work out. Becky would whoop me. The finger is not the strongest appendage in the body. But God's finger, figuratively speaking, is stronger than all the might of men, than all the might of hell. You have the Lord God on your side. You have the Lord God who has made himself your refuge and strength to protect you from sin, death, and the devil. And this protection is found in the incarnate Son of God, your Savior, Jesus Christ. If it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you, Jesus says, and the kingdom of God has certainly come upon us in Jesus Christ. We are here because in holy baptism, we have been made citizens of God's kingdom, an everlasting kingdom, a kingdom that cannot be shaken is the kingdom we are inheriting. The kingdom of God has come upon us, not through any invitation of our own. The world did not invite the second person of the Godhead to become man, issue an invitation, Son of God, please appear on such and such a date. No, the incarnation was more an invasion of occupied enemy territory. It was an invasion, heaven's intrusion into the kingdom of Satan to destroy that kingdom, to liberate the devil's captives, to set them free, to set you free. Once we were in darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Once we were sons of disobedience, but now we are sons of God, daughters of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Then Jesus tells a little story. You've got a strong man, you know, some big guy, think the Hulk or something, fully armed. He's guarding his own palace. His goods are safe. Who is going to come against him? But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, and I'm sure here we could use one of these recent superhero movies that have come out, When one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he, the strong man, trusted. He divides the spoil. This is a figure. The devil is a strong man, but Jesus as the stronger man. And Jesus' strength is shown in a curious way. In his humiliating death on the cross, it seemed the strong man had successfully fought off the stronger man. But Jesus was raised in power and glory on the third day and vanquished the strong man. And Jesus took away his armor. And now all who are clothed in Christ have put on the full armor of God. Jesus has divided the strong man's spoil. He has rescued the souls and lives of men, women, and children by his redeeming love and grace. And Jesus says the thing here that should cause us to take note. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. The church is a gathering place. It is an assembly where the people of God gather around the gospel that comes to them in word and sacrament. The church is also a gathering place in this sense, that those who are outside the church, those who are still in the kingdom of darkness, are invited to come in. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come, let he who desires the water of life come and drink freely." We invite others. We call others. The church gathers others to her bosom, and there these people find Christ, for there he is in his holy, precious, sacred gifts in the gospel. Something else we should take note of. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, when a demon, it passes through waterless places, desert places, seeking rest. And finding none, it says, "I will return to my house from which I came." And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. You are saved in holy baptism, for as Peter writes, baptism now saves you. You are saved through the gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified and resurrected. You are saved as you come to the altar in repentance and faith. For when you were baptized, the devil fled. The sign of the cross was traced upon you. The name of the triune God was placed upon you. But the devil wants to regain his territory. The devil wants to regain his forfeited power over you. You cannot resist him in your own strength. You can only resist him clothed in the full armor of Christ. You can only resist him as you put your old sinful nature to death daily by drowning it in contrition and repentance. You are able to resist the devil because Christ has resisted him and defeated him for you. And he, the one who has defeated the devil, is with you in your temptations, with you in your struggle against your unruly sinful nature, with you even as you face death. So what do you do? What is your response to this? My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Look to the Lord. Look to the Lord in prayer. Look to the Lord as he is present for you with the strengthening, forgiving, life-giving word of his gospel. Look to the Lord as he is present for you in these means of grace. Look to the Lord and hear his word. Don't force yourself into a famine of the word of God. No. This is a place where there is to be a rich feast of the word. After he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." This woman is speaking of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the one who is blessed among all women. But do you know why she is blessed? Because she heard the word of God and believed it. That's what Elizabeth told her. And the same is true for you. Blessed, rather, are those who hear the word of God and keep it. This man who is mute and deaf because he was possessed by a demon was able to hear and speak again. He was able to hear the good news of Jesus. Your ears likewise have been opened so you can hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. To keep the word of God is to treasure that word, to guard that word. And this is what the Holy Christian Church is called to do. But you know what? The Holy Christian Church is not just her pastors, because frankly, there are a lot of scoundrels who serve as pastors, and all pastors at one time or another have probably been scoundrels. But it is you, the people of God, who are likewise to keep and to treasure and to cherish and to guard that word. We together, pastor and lay people, have the word. And this congregation, no matter what trials, troubles, difficulties we face, this congregation is blessed by God because God has given us ears to hear his word and the hearts and the will to keep it. I'm going to stop there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord.